Lead us, guide us, and direct us, our Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study today. Honor thy word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. On the programs, Monday through Friday, we are studying the grace of God. We'll continue today where we left off on the last broadcast in the series. In Ephesians chapter 2, I read on the last program verses 1 through 10. I emphasized just a little bit of verses 6, 7, and 8. Let me read them again. Ephesians 2, 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, today, I'll bring to a close this part of the message on the grace of God. I started several days ago discussing with you the motives of saving grace. Why did God provide grace at the tremendous expense of the blood of Jesus? God so loved that God gave Jesus, and God literally turned his head while Jesus died on the cross, and grace was made possible for you and for me. Why? What was God's motive? Number one, that we might bring forth good works. We might let our light shine, that men might see our good works and glorify God right here upon this earth. Then in the second place, God loved us that we perish not. God loved us. God gave Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, it's wonderful not to perish. You know, I had rather die and cease to exist than to die and burn in hell forever. But that is not all God's grace does for us. God's grace not only delivers us from perishing, but God's grace gives to us eternal life in that celestial city. Now, in the third place, and it is the best and the most important, God saves us that in the ages of ages he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, on the radio, of course, many of you people have my books and you've heard the messages for many years. We've discussed Revelation verse by verse, John verse by verse, almost all of the epistles verse by verse, and there are not many verses in this New Testament that I have not preached on or used as a text one time or another on the Gospel Hour these many, many years that I've been preaching every day on this broadcast. So today I'm reading a very familiar chapter, but one that there is so much we need to know about and learn about that we have not learned, and we'll never fully understand all of it. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Well. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, you know, that is a tremendous verse of Scripture. The more I read the Bible, the more I realize what a tremendous book this Bible is. And the more I realize and recognize that man certainly did not write the Word of God. Now, there will be the first heaven that is right up here above us, the first heaven where the clouds are and where the air is, that will pass away, and the earth, of course, will pass away, and the sea will cease to be. Now, I made this statement when I was discussing Revelation verse by verse on the Gospel Hour. By the way, we have a book over 500 pages, a commentary on Revelation. Every verse in Revelation is discussed. But I say this, and I said it then, but I say it now because it needs to be said. When we have the new earth, the new heaven, the new earth, there will be no need for the ocean. The seas, the salt seas, are God's giant disposal plant. In other words, beloved, the filth of this earth pours eventually into the oceans, and the oceans are salt, and of course, the filth of the earth is disposed of in the depths of the sea. Now, you know, God Almighty made this universe, and a perfect God knows what He's doing. And when God made this universe, God made it right. And of course, judgment struck the earth. I don't have time to go into that. But when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, there'll be no reason, no point for the sea. And keep in mind, God never makes anything, God never creates anything, and God never does anything, but that God has a purpose and a reason. God creates all things to bring honor and glory to His name. All things were created by Him, for Him, and so on. Now, watch the next verse. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, to save time today, I'm going to skip to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, this I'm reading to show you today that God saves us not just to keep us out of hell. God saves us not just that we might have a good life here and life eternal hereafter. God saves us to bring glory to His name and to put on display the exceeding riches of God's grace. Now, let me say this, and if you'll think, you'll understand what I'm going to say. If Adam had continued in the Garden of Eden, if Adam had not sinned, if Adam had never eaten the fruit that God told him not to eat, if Adam had stayed exactly as he was created, God could have never displayed His grace, the exceeding riches of His grace in Adam, because Adam was innocent and Adam was righteous and godly. Now, grace is given for the ungodly, and the grace of God works miracles in the hearts of sinners. Now, you say, preacher, then is it best that man sinned? I'm not saying, I'm not discussing that it is best that Adam sinned. Certainly not, because sin has caused every heartache and every heartbreak that has ever been. But here is the marvelous thing about it. You see, God, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And even though sin is horrible and sin is terrible and the wages of sin is death, you see, God has caused the devil's program to backfire in his face, and God has provided grace that is so rich and so glorious that the grace of God will be put on display throughout the ceaseless ages of the unending eternity that lies ahead of us. Now watch it. Verse 10. Revelation 21:10, and He carried me away in the Spirit. Now watch this. John is in the Spirit on the Isle of Patmos. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having, there's a comma after God, verse 11 is a continuation of verse 10, having the glory of God, having the glory of God. Now, the church, the New Testament church, Jesus is the head and the foundation and the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5, He died for the church. He's the head of the church and the Savior of the body. And He will present the church to Himself, a spotless church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Ephesians 5, 25, 26, 27, read those verses. Now, beloved, the grace of God was given that the church might be formed and the church might be purified and spotless, and one day the church will be presented to Jesus, a spotless church, a glorious church without a wrinkle, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto stone most precious, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, clear as crystal. Now, here's what I want to show you, and I said that today I would finish this particular part of the message on the grace of God, the motive God provided grace, that God, through the eternal ages, the eternity of eternities, the ages of ages, the unending ages, God will put on display the exceeding riches of His grace. Now let me show you what we've read so far, A new heaven. The first heaven passes away. The earth, of course, is made new. And the pearly white city, that is the new Jerusalem, descends from God out of heaven. And John said that he was taken in the spirit up to a high mountain, and he saw that great city, the holy city, descending from God out of heaven, having the glory of God. Now Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." They were already there. Jesus didn't go back to build mansions, beloved. "In my Father's house are many mansions." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." The pearly white city will be the new house of the bride. Now, not all brides enter a new home. Some young men are fortunate and they marry and they have a brand new house, brand new furniture, and they carry their bride into a new home. A lot of men, in fact, I guess more young men, carry their bride to a rented apartment or to a rented house, or maybe they move in with some of the relatives. They're not too many young men can present their wife, their bride, with a new shining home. But praise God, Jesus has been preparing the home for his bride, the New Testament church, for almost 2,000 years. Now, the pearly white city will be everything and will include everything that will be beautiful and marvelous and wonderful and glorious. Now, I know there are a lot of people that can't see it, and the reason is they don't really want to see it because it's as clear as can be. Now, I'm not going to read these verses because you can read them, and it'll take 5 minutes almost on the radio, and I need that time to discuss some things with you. Now, you read on down, you find the gates and the foundations and the street and all of that. Now, in verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein." The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, the Godhead, the Lord God and the Lamb. "And the city had no need of the sun, no moon. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light of it." You see, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost are inseparable. They are the temple and they are the light. Now watch this in verse 24. Now remember, this is the pearly white city. This is not the millennial earth. This is at the consummation of all things. We have here the beginning of the ages of ages, the eternity of eternities, the unending age, after everything, after the battle of Gog and Magog, after Satan is in the pit, the beast and the false prophet are in the pit. This is the end. That is the end of time and the beginning of eternity. So, we notice in verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved," and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. They'll walk in the light of it, beloved. They'll walk in the light of it. Now, here where I deliver the message day by day, just outside of my studio, I do a lot of studying at night. I spend many hours. I burn midnight electricity. I do almost all of my studying at night. And I spend hours and hours at the dictaphone. And just outside the studio, there is a mercury light, a street light. And when I leave the studio to go into the house sometimes at 12, 1 or 2 or 2:30 in the morning, I walk in the light. I walk in the light of that mercury lamp. Now, beloved, the pearly white city will be 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. Where do you get that, preacher? Right here in the verses 12 through 21. Read it. It's in there. I do a little figuring. That's what God gave you your good mind for. God expects us to do, add up some things there, and you'll see that it's four square. It's as long as it's wide, and it's as high as it's wide and long. It's 1,500 miles long, wide, and 1,500 miles high. Now, that will be some light. That'll be a light, my friend. And the city, the pearly white city, will illuminate heaven and earth. Read on. "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth," E-A-R-T-H. Now we have the pearly white city and the earth at the same time. This is the new earth. Some people think that when Jesus comes in the end, he'll destroy the earth, he'll destroy everything, and we'll all go to heaven. Now, that's not in the Bible. In other words, there is a heaven. God's house, yes, and there'll be a new heaven, yes, because the air, the atmosphere will be renovated. The atmosphere is the kingdom of Satan now and the demons, and all that will be burned out. And this earth will be melted, and we'll have a new earth. And the saved nations, the nations that came out of great tribulation, the nations that were friendly to the Jew, to Israel, they'll be saved. A great number that no man can number. A great, great number in Revelation 7. The saved nations will walk in the light of the pearly white city. The kings will bring their glory and honor into the pearly white city. The gates will not be closed by day. There'll be no night, no night. And they'll bring their glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination maketh a lie, but those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, when the pearly white city comes down, it will be suspended between heaven and earth, just like the sun is now, just like the moon is suspended out there. The pearly white city will hang between God's house, the third heaven, and the new earth. And the light from that city will illuminate all of God's new creation. And the church will occupy the pearly white city. We will have access to God's house. We'll have access to the new earth. And the nations will have access to the pearly white city. And the nations will have access to the third heaven. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, Mr. Green, how on earth will the nations and Israel get up into the pearly white city if it's suspended in the atmosphere, out in outer space? If it's suspended, how will they get there? Let me ask you a question, or let me make a statement. If man can build a rocket to land on the moon, don't you worry about God Almighty getting us on the earth and back to the pearly white city and into the third heaven. Don't let that trouble you. God is very capable of taking care of that part of it. Now, the pearly white city will be suspended between heaven and earth, and the glory of God will fill that city, and the bride will occupy that city, and God will put on display the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, members of the New Testament church, born again people, will be on display. All peoples, all creation, the angels will see the church in the pearly white city. Glory to God. Whatever God has done, whatever God will do, will eventually bring glory to God's own name. Hallelujah. Are you saved? If you're not, give your heart to Jesus right now and let Jesus save you. Father, honor the precious Word of God, the wonderful, marvelous, enlightening Word of God. Honor thy Word and make every sinner desire to be saved right now. Save the soul that's nearest hell. For Jesus' sake, amen.